Thanks, Dwight. I can't think of anything that perhaps we could do that would be more important than telling the Lord God our problems, our troubles, because we all face them in life. A number of years ago, actually, there was a song entitled Eleanor Rigby. Maybe some of you remember that song. And it was written by John Lennon and George Harrison, and I think probably Paul also. McCartney had a little bit to do with it as well. But in that song, it says something about all the lonely people. Where are all these lonely, lonely people? And where is this place called Lonely Street? That was a song, actually, that was recorded by Andy Williams many, many years ago, the Everly Brothers and George Jones, and probably no one could sing it better, and no one could probably be more truthful in the singing of that song than George Jones. But I know one thing for sure, that there are a lot of lonely people in our world. In that song, Eleanor Rigby, all the lonely people, where do they all come from? And all the lonely people, where do they belong? It's hard for us to imagine people being lonely when we're happy. And when everything is going great in our life, it's hard for us to believe that there are so many, many unhappy people. But there are a lot of them that live figuratively on what we call Lonely Street. It is a place where there's just loneliness, where dim lights bring forgetfulness, and where broken dreams and miseries and memories meet. And where is this place? Where is this place called Lonely Street? You know, people are lonely for a number of reasons. Elvis Presley sang a song several years ago. It was one of the first hits he actually recorded. And it was called Heartbreak Hotel. It was written, by the way, by a member of the Body of Christ over in Mahia. Now, lonely is a word that really describes our society. And you know what? You find people, lonely people, everywhere you go. Someone said not long ago, I'm a waste of time and space. And why am I here? Let me ask you the question. Do you ever, ever get lonely? There is a difference between being alone and being lonely. How many of you have ever felt like this? Anybody? You ever seen that? I've seen it like that, and I've always felt sorry for that poor little old bird that's over here, whether it's a pigeon or whatever it happens to be. Maybe you felt that way at times. Someone said, I like being alone, but I don't like being lonely. And I know a lot of people who say, well, I don't mind being alone. Audrey said, if she preceded me in death, I'd have roving eyes at the funeral. Believe me, that's not true. And don't listen to my wife, what she says. I can tell you, it's not true. But are you lonely? Are you lonely? There was a survey made recently about people who are lonely, and you might think that probably the loneliest people in the world are the people who are aged people or people who are up in years, and that is not true at all. It isn't. If you were to look at this chart, you would understand that the greatest degree of lonely people are those between the age of 16 and 24. Between 25 and 34, you can map out where you are here. 34%, 36% between 35 and 44, 45 to 54 is 35%. And 55 to 64, 32, 65 to 74, 29%, 27, which is the lowest. Think about it. You might think that would be the greatest degree of lonely people, but that's not true. You know, we all get melancholy at times. I'm not talking about that kind of loneliness. I'm talking about people who are lonely continually. Sometimes on a rainy day and, you know, you get a little bit lonely. It's kind of blue and, you know, but right now it'd probably make you happy, wouldn't it? And I hear we may get a little rain tonight and tomorrow morning. I hope that's true. But the most terrible poverty is loneliness and the feeling of being unloved. And there are a lot of people. Someone said, actually, it was in a song. Christina Perry actually sang it, said, "I'm the shell of the girl that I used to know well." Think about all the great songs that have been written about loneliness. Bobby Vinton sang that song about loneliness. John Denver sang the song, "Fly Away." Remember the words of that song? "Lonely Girl," Emmylou Harris, Elvis Presley. Are you lonesome tonight? Or perhaps Roy Orbison. "Only the Lonely." Loneliness is demonstrated in a lot of ways. Captured in a poetic form and prose, we read in the book of Psalms 102, verse 6 and 7, where David says, "I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop." Now that really describes and captures what loneliness is really all about. David said it also in the 22nd chapter of the book of Psalms. And even though David was a man who loved God and full of rejoicing, wanted to go into the temple of God, there were times when he got lonely. He said, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despise of people." In the book of Psalms 22 and verse 11, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." Now I want to talk to you a little bit tonight about people that live on lonely street. And I want to talk about the cause of loneliness. You know, maybe if we could really understand the cause of it, maybe we could perhaps capture the remedy for it, understanding it. I think one of the big reasons that people are lonely is because of the society in which we live. People are often, as I said here, pushed and really shoved around away. They're not always included. And I'm one of the great things about this church is we don't have cliques. I've tried to foster that particular attitude from day one when I came to Crockett Road. I said, the church needs no cliques. We all ought to be members of the body of Christ. We don't form cliques based on the color of one's skin, or their financial status, or where they live, their occupation, or if they're unpopular. But a lot of people do. A lot of people take all of these factors before they are willing to welcome you into the group. As I told you this morning, sometimes people can be lonely in a house full of people, and that's the worst kind of loneliness. Do you know that people can be lonely in a house full of brethren and down at the church house? Sometimes I wonder how people feel when they visit our services. Do they really feel welcome? I think this congregation does a great job at making people feel a part and welcoming them into the fellowship of God's dear family here. But it's easy when we don't, it's easy for them to feel lonely, and people will not return where they feel lonely. And as a young man, I actually used to think that the worst thing in life was to end up all alone. But that's not the worst thing in life. It's not. The worst thing in life is being around people that make you feel alone. Loneliness, tough thing, isn't it? You know, people can be unmarried and be happy and not be lonely. They may be alone. I think I told you several years ago, there was a dear lady in the church up in Hallsville, a friend of mine. By the way, she taught Lady Bird Johnson in the first grade. Her name was Nancy Lawrence. And for some reason or another, she kind of took a liking to me. And she would come in and sit down by me in church when I was growing up. I'd lead singing. And if I were sitting on the second pew, she'd just come up there. And she was kind of a mentor in a lot of ways. And if I went to a wedding, she would come in and she'd sit down there by me, you know. She'd look at me if we were singing at the wedding, performing, whatever it was. She would look at me and punch me and say, "You're next." You know, "You're next." Well, I got tired of all of that. And when we started going to funerals, I'd sit by her and go, "You're next. You're next." But it's being around lonely people. How many times have you ever felt so insecure? That's what loneliness is about, isn't it? You feel insecure. They even have what they call the Lonely Hearts Club. I had a friend send his picture in one time, and they wrote back and said, "We're not that lonely yet." Whenever you feel lonely, just close your eyes and realize that God is there with you. You are not alone. For Christ said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world," Matthew 28 and verse 20. And we need to realize in the book of Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9, God says to Joshua, "Be strong, be brave, be fearless." Well, all those folks aren't coming on Sunday morning to worship or Sunday night because of coronavirus. Go back and take heart to these great words. For you are never alone. Loneliness is also caused by success. Now that may sound strange. You know, when you're not included and you feel like you've been rejected, hey, that makes you lonely. Society, as I said, does make you lonely. But sometimes the loneliness that we experience comes from the fact that perhaps we've been successful in life. Because it's lonely at the top. And it is. You remember Alexander the Great? If you read history, you remember a lot about Alexander the Great. But one of the things about Alexander the Great that sometimes people tend to forget is the fact that he was a very lonely, melancholy individual, even though he was the greatest conqueror of the world. He looked at his domain, and someone asked him one time, "Aren't you grateful that you've been able to dominate?" And he wept. Because there were no more worlds to dominate nor to conquer. And he felt lonely. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 3 through 11, here's a man who had the great life. He was successful. He was at the top. Listen. He had reached an apex that very few people in life ever reach. But notice what he says about life. He really has a handle on it here. And, of course, we know it's by inspiration. He says, "People live and people die, but the earth continues forever." That's a hard thing for us to believe sometimes, isn't it? People think that the world's going to go into a holding pattern if we suddenly are taken from this life. That does not happen. He says, "The sun rises and the sun goes down. And then it hurries to rise again in the same place." Have you ever noticed that? How the sun comes up every morning, even when it is raining, even when there are clouds that obscure that sun, the sun is still shining behind the clouds. He says the wind blows to the south and the wind blows to the north. The wind blows around and around. Then it turns and blows back to the place that it began. And all rivers flow again and again to the same place. They all flow to the sea, but the sea never becomes full. Words cannot fully explain things, but people continue, listen, speaking. Words come again and again to our ears, but our ears don't become so full, and our eyes don't become full of what we see. All things continue the way they have been since the very beginning, and the same things will be done that have always been done. And I want you to notice this little statement. It almost becomes a cliche with a lot of people. But there is nothing new in this life. One translation says it this way. Listen to it. There is nothing new under the sun. You know, people are people. I don't care whether you live in Palestine or you live in Tyler or wherever you happen to live, people are basically the same wherever you go, because there is nothing new under the sun. Notice what he says as he continues. Someone might say, look, this is new. But that thing has always been. It was here before we were. People don't remember what happened long ago. In the future, they will not remember what is happening now. And later, other people will not remember what the people before them did. You know, history is a wonderful thing, isn't it? And it often does repeat itself. If you were to go back in the annals of history and look at some of the things that they did then, and even during the pandemic, and I was doing that this week, and do you know back during the flu of 1918, do you know they were wearing masks? But they were not N95 masks. But they had handkerchiefs around their face. Not because the government told them they had to do it, but they did it for safety purposes, and it was a more communicable thing than what we face here in Palestine right now. Other people will not remember what the people before them did. Loneliness is often caused by suffering. There is nothing that probably makes you feel more lonely than having to suffer, especially by yourself. You're sick and you're in the hospital and no one can come to see you. You're stuck in a nursing home facility and no one can come to visit with you. And the hugs and the embraces and the kiss on the cheek that lifted you even higher and higher is no longer there. Easy to be lonely, isn't it? That's why we all ought to remember our brethren that are in nursing home facilities and assisted livings. And we have copies of those. And by the way, I'm going to make big copies and put those out for you. But let me challenge you to do something. If you really believe what I'm telling you tonight, why not send a card? Audrey and Amanda have been working with this for the last couple of 3 months, and I know Alice and Doug and some of the youth have been doing the same thing, fixing little gift bags and taking to the nursing home with a little cream, a little powder, candy, a little balloon. Dwight's been doing it too for a long time, carrying candy out to the nursing home. I've been with him when he would do it. And those are just simple little things. They would let you in then. They won't now. But you can take it to the door. They have to keep it 3 days before they have to wait for the coronavirus to leave if it's there. And then they take it down to the patient. And that's a wonderful thing. We get calls all the time from people saying, I just want you to know how much we really, really appreciate what you did. It just means so much to us. Because you know what? When you go to a nursing home facility, most of the time, and generally, you are forgotten. And oddly enough, a lot of the family members do not even acknowledge that they are there. That's why it's so important for us to remember them. Just a little thing to say we miss you. We love you. We haven't written you off. And we have several in the nursing home that cannot help themselves. Think about it, folks. I mean, people are with you all the time. Some of them have to be fed. Somebody has to be with them when they go to the bathroom or when they shower. They feel helpless and alone. Don't forget them. Send them a card. We send them from the office. But they ought to be getting cards from all of us. It's something that we can do. And by the way, you can get a Hallmark card down at Dollar Tree for 50 cents. That's pretty cheap, folks. Can you imagine how lonely they must be? No family members can get there, no members of the body of Christ. But there are things that we can do. The Bible says that we're to cast all of our cares on Him, for He cares for us. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. There were times in the life of Elijah, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, one of the major prophets, by the way, who felt all alone, recorded in the book of 1 Kings 18 and verse 22. For Elijah said, I alone am a prophet of the Lord. He thought he was the only one. Listen to this passage in verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous of the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant. They have thrown down thine altars and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Do you think that Elijah was in the throes of depression? I think he was. What about Paul the Apostle when he himself made this statement in 2 Timothy 4:16? When Paul is making his defense for Christianity and the gospel that he preached, he said, at my first answer, when I was before the council, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. But I pray to God that He may not lay that to their charge. Sounds like something Stephen would say, doesn't it, over in the early chapters of the book of Acts. When they were stoning him to death. But loneliness is caused not only by suffering, being at the top, society, but it's also caused by sin that we have in our heart. King David would say in Psalms 51, my sin is ever before me. How many of you know that that would rob you of your joy and your happiness? I can tell you it will. Carrying around guilt is not an easy thing. And yet people live with it often. But in Psalms 32, verse 1 through 6, David said, blessed is a man. I want you to know that that word blessed from the Hebrew is a word that's called makarios. Now, that doesn't mean too much to you, but I just want you to understand the real meaning of it. The word makarios actually means happy. So where we translate the word blessed, you could say, happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, and blessed or happy is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. For when, now notice what he says, for when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. But I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Now that's why he says, blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven. Sin causes people to be lonely. And it hurts very much, doesn't it? But the antithesis to that is found in the book of 1 John 1 and verse 9, where John says that if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And happiness can be restored. When David confessed his sin in Psalms 51, then he turns to God and he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then, O God, I will teach the transgressor of thy way." Remember that even though you may be alone. And we have a lot of members of the congregation here who are widowed or widowers or who have no mate. You go home to an empty house. We understand that. I know it gets lonely. But you and I have a responsibility to do what we can to help those people overcome their loneliness. We must seek to encourage the lonely. God's presence can bring about a lot of things. Forgiveness to our sinfulness. Fulfillment when we feel empty in life. Courage to our fearfulness. Healing to our brokenness when Jesus was called back to Jerusalem. And to stand up in the synagogue and preach the truth in Nazareth. He would say, "God has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." You see, Christ was involved in helping those who were lonely. It will free us from our bitterness. And he offers encouragement for our loneliness. But some people never get the message. We will always be lonely without God. Only the lonely. Without his son Jesus. And without the Holy Spirit. One day you will leave this world. The seat will be empty. But you know what? There may be an empty seat in your life tonight. Someone may be missing in your heart right now. And the void in your life just might be God. Our Lord God. That's why we have to encourage the lonely. The Bible says we're to encourage the lonely and the faint-hearted. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6 and verse 2. And when we help people build their faith and strengthen them, God can take away our loneliness by helping us develop a faith that leads us to become obedient unto him. I would say to all of you tonight that if you are lonely, let God take away your loneliness. For John 6, Christ said, "He that would come to me, I will in no wise cast out." God's plan of salvation is so simple. We talked about it this morning in our Bible class and our worship hour that even young children can comprehend it. And you know what? You don't have to live in question anymore. For when you obey the gospel in baptism and you receive the forgiveness of your sins, there is a restoration of joy that was taken away from you when you came to know sin for the first time. All the lonely, lonely people, where do they come from? And where do they go? You don't have to live on a street called lonely anymore. If you live there, you move there. Wouldn't it be wonderful tonight just to give up your residence on a lonely street? While we stand and while we sing.